Knowing how large language models work is a really useful skill. And one way to improve that skill is actually to play around with training LLMs yourself. Now, you probably don't have a huge GPU cluster sitting around at home, but you can actually do this with a humble PC without a graphics card, or even better if you do have a good graphics card. So in this video, I want to show you how you can train two different types of LLM, different sizes, different data sets. One of them you can do in just a few minutes on your PC if you have a decent GPU. So by doing this, you're going to improve your skills of understanding how LLMs work and actually have a bit of fun creating your own tiny little model. So if you want to find out more, please let me explain. Okay, so let's dive in. So what we're going to be doing today is two things. One, we're going to train a 10 million parameter model on the 1 megabyte file, which is the complete works of Shakespeare. So about a megabyte of writing. And with a GPU, it won't take long, under an hour for sure, maybe only a few minutes, depending on the power of your GPU. With a CPU, it will take longer. I did it on a mini PC that I have here, and it ran for about 8 hours. So you can do it overnight. If it is the kind of thing you want to try, you leave it running overnight and you'll be done. And then once we have it trained, we'll ask it to generate text as a completion to a prompt like to be or not to be or whatever. Then the second thing we're going to do is train a 24 million parameter model. So a little bit bigger, but again, as I said, nothing compared to, of course, the big models that you can run even locally. 1 billion, 2 billion, 3 billion parameters. Of course, the ones, frontier ones, are into the trillions now. And we'll train that on a 2.1 gigabyte tiny stories data set. And you'll need a GPU for this. And it will take a few hours with a GPU. Obviously, look at the difference in the size of the data. 1 megabyte compared to 2.1 gigabytes. Much larger scale. And again, we'll ask it to generate some text once upon a time. And we'll talk more about that when we come to that in a moment. So the starting point for all of this is a great project on GitHub called Train an LLM from Scratch. I'll give you a link to it. And it's how it describes it: a hands-on workshop where you write every piece of the GPT training pipeline yourself, understanding what each component does and why. LLM from Scratch strips down what Andre Karpathy's Nano GPT project is to the essentials and scales it down to just 10 million parameter model that trains on a laptop in under an hour. That's what he says. Maybe that's a laptop with a built-in GPU. It's designed to be completed in a single workshop session. So very, very accessible. Now, Angelo's project is brilliant and takes you step by step through each process. And I really recommend you go and look at it and follow all the instructions he's got there. However, what he doesn't do is publish the final completed code. The idea is that you go through it yourself step by step, which I highly recommend. That's what I did. But if you don't have the patience for that, what I'm giving you is the cheat, the shortcut, the read the last chapter version. So I'm just giving you the complete code along with the data and the instructions on how you run it. So what you need to do is download all the files in my GitHub repo. Here is the link on the screen. It will also be in the description. This is basically the complete kit of what you need to do this. And in there are some files. Generate.python.py is a script to interact with the model and say, generate me some text, you know, to be or not to be, and then it completes it. Train.python is the file that you use to actually train the model. Model.py is some plumbing. Again, if you want to understand that file, for example, go and look at Angelo's project. It tells you all about how that works. And then checkpointfinal.txt is a place where you'll find checkpointfinal.pt, which is the trained model. So you don't even have to train it yourself. You can just download the trained model that I've done for you. But it's too big to go in GitHub, so there's a URL where you can download it from somewhere else. And then there's a README file, which tells you how you to install all the prerequisites. Now, this uses Python, obviously. So it needs to install things like PyTorch. And like PyTorch, you need to work out what variant you want to install, because some PyTorches are specifically for running on the CPU, some will work on an NVIDIA GPU, some will work on an Intel GPU, some will work on an AMD GPU to get the best acceleration. So you read that file and it will tell you how to download the best version of PyTorch and other things that you need for Python. And finally, there's a data folder, which in this case contains the complete works of Shakespeare. And in fact, it contains other files, for example, the complete works, complete stories of Sherlock Holmes, for example. So you can train it on different sets if you want to. Now, before we carry on, I'd like to say a quick thanks to the sponsor of this video, SERP API. Who can research a topic faster, me or an AI agent? Let's say I wanted to look for top-rated Italian restaurants in London. Now, to do that, I would need to use my web browser, open up several tabs, get some search results, verify the listings, and kind of then collect the information. But what if I could give an AI agent or even a simple automation script access to live search results? Let's try. Here is a simple script I wrote in Python for doing this kind of research. With SERP API, the script sends a single request and receives live results as structured JSON. It can immediately extract the restaurant names, ratings, reviews, and locations, then organize everything into a clean, useful table. The same approach can be used to power product research, news monitoring, travel tools, local search, and much more. SERP API allows for automation with live search data without having to deal with proxies and captures and broken scrapers. Build the agent, not the scraping infrastructure. Get started with SERP API with 250 free credits by clicking on the link in the description or using the QR code here on the screen. Okay, let's carry on with the training. So if you want to train the model yourself rather than downloading the pre one I've got, you just run python train.py and that would automatically go and look for the Shakespeare file and train it on that. If you want to use your other files like the Sherlock Holmes complete collection, then you specify that as a parameter, so data/sherlock.txt. Now, once that's done, as I say, it could take a few minutes or it could take a few hours, depending on the hardware you've got. You can then actually run a generate command, Python generate, and then a prompt. The morning was nigh, for example, on the checkpoint final.pt file that you've got, either by downloading it or by training it yourself. And there are several flags that you can also add onto that. For example, the temperature, the top K. Now, if you don't know what either of those means, I've got a whole video about temperature, top K, and all the other parameters like that, explaining how they influence the output of an LLM. Do check out that video. And in fact, you can even set the seed as well. So there are several flags that you can put on there. And if you run that, you'll get output like this. The morning was nigh at thy fatal hands, that stabbed thy son, thy nits rock. Ere look the man, still blame he and be a child. Now, if you know a bit of Shakespeare, it sounds like Shakespeare. It's kind of got that thing. Of course, it's nonsense, but it just shows you that just with 1 megabyte data file, these LLMs, this is why it's such a powerful technique. You can start to get something interesting out of it. Now, of course, the step from here to where you can ask an LLM a question and it can reply with something sensible is a big step. I mean, this is just the, you know, the seeds of how you build these things, but an interesting exercise. So there you go. I thought that was quite interesting. Now, Tiny Stories is a synthetic data set of short stories that only contain the words that a typical 3 or 4 year old would usually understand. For example, once upon a time, there was a boy named Tom. Tom had a big screen in his room. He liked to watch his favourite cartoons on it. Tom's mum said it was fine to watch the screen for a little while each day. So you get these very tiny little stories, very short sentences, not a very large vocabulary, very simple sentence structure. And because of all that, it means the LLM can actually start to train and understand all those connections and understand the relationship between words much, much quicker because we've actually made them less complex. Of course, real adult English language or French or German or whatever other language, it's much more complex, much more nuanced, much more deep. And of course, that's why the LLMs need to be much, much bigger to actually get some decent output from them. Now, tiny stories can be used to train an LLM that are very small and yet produce fluent and consistent stories. Of course, you train them with stories, so stories is what you're going to get. You can't ask it like, what is the capital of France or something? It's not going to give you that answer. Now, to do that, you download all the files again from another folder in my GitHub repository. Again, link in the description below. It's also here on screen. You need to download the Tiny Stories training data from Hugging Face. There's the link there. Again, I'll leave a link in the description below. You put that in the data folder. And it's the same idea as before. There's a train.py, a generate.py. Now, train.py is a bit more sophisticated. I've beefed it up a little bit. Has a few more options. You can set the size of the model. You can make it look at different aspects of the training data and then decide auto-fit the model to go with it. And it also can be interrupted. And this is really important because if you're training this at home on your own GPU, you know, and you might run it for a few hours and you just get tired of all the noise or the heat or you want to switch it off and go away for the weekend or whatever, this can be interrupted and then restarted, which means you could actually do this training over several days and get several hours of training over several days of training, if you get me, in real time by stopping it and restarting it. So the way you train it, start it, is you run train. Now, tokens per parameter is a great argument you could put into this, because it works out how big the model should be based on this parameter, tokens per parameter. And that's basically saying how many tokens fit into each parameter of the model. And there's some studies that we won't go into now that say 20 is a good optimum number. And then how many steps do you want to take in the training? Well, you start with, let's say, 1,000, and that will kick the whole thing off and get it all sorted. And then if you want to resume, you do train minus minus resume. You give it the file that you're actually resuming from, and then you give it another max step date number. It has to be bigger than that one, and it will just keep going. You could go 1,000, then 2,000, then 3,000, just keep going. For this, you need to reach about 45,000, and then you're going to have a good trained model. And then again, you can run the inference script as before. You can give it the temperature and so on. So once upon a time, okay, and if you do that, you can start, you know, here's an example. The boy was in the park. He saw a big red ball. He wanted to play with it. He ran to the ball and tried to get it. But the ball was too high. The boy was sad. He did not want to go near the big tree. Now, that's a little story. Okay, it's, you know, not the world's best story, but it's exactly the same as the kind of the stories it was going in the training data. And you can see it gives it out. And I thought it's a really fascinating data set to play with, because with only just a few hours of training, you actually get some really interesting output based on that training data. Now, of course, this then leads you down a black hole. I'm starting to like, oh, well, actually, I could train a bigger model. So I started with a 50 million parameter model trained on 16,000 high quality public domain books in English language. You can find that data set on Hugging Face. There is the link to it. And I'm using a GPU in the cloud because I'm getting tired of it running on my GPU here and generating all that hot noise and heat. I've been running it for about 24 hours, and the results aren't as nowhere near as impressive as the tiny stories data set. So there's more, you know, if you wanted to get into this as a way of learning, you can start training 50 million parameters, 100 million parameter models. And of course, you could, you know, go down a bit of a black hole here and just do it all yourself. But it's really interesting. It's quite an interesting experiment to really understand the concepts and the dynamics of a large language model, and then also of what you can achieve with a very small large language model. Okay, so there you have it. We've trained two large language models, tiny, tiny ones. However, you can go on, you can try a third, a fourth, you can play around with all different kinds of data sets, loads of different data sets on Hugging Face and so on. So have fun and learn how large language models work. Okay, my name is Gary Sims. This is Gary Explains. Hope you enjoyed the video. I'll see you in the next one.